Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb.
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome everybody back to a brand new edition of the podcast. Some of the hosts of this here podcast, Ted Smith, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Down there in the bottom square, beaming in from Austin, Texas. Goes by the name of Cap. Cap, what's going on?
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Up there in the top corner, beaming in from a darker, but, you know, sunlight's out. A little dark in that room today. Mac, I'm the producer, FCTP. What's up, Mac?
What's up, boys? Yeah, we've been doing some redecorating, and by me, my girlfriend.
Emo vibes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I said that.
All right.
Well,
she'll hear it.
I'm sure it's good for video and podcasting, but it does just look a little dark in there. I also said, when I say we're redecorating, I mean my girlfriend. Like, I don't know the last time a single dude called me and said, "Can you come over and help me redecorate?"
Dog, I just came home from work and the bed was in a different place.
All right. And I don't know what it is. Like I've moved and hung up pieces of art and stuff, but I don't know. I've never been like, maybe I should redecorate.
Yeah, that's fair. You kind of set it and forget it.
Yeah. It's just a pile of stuff that I had under the bed. Now the bed's been moved, so the stuff's exposed, and I had a little project waiting for me. Just what am I going to do with all this shit I don't use?
That never feels good after a long day at work.
No.
I mean, look, I changed the little scents and got a new candle today. That's kind of redecorating for me.
Whoa.
That's big time. All right.
That's big, dude. Yeah. How's your soap level in the bathroom?
You know, she's about halfway done.
That's good. That's big.
I usually buy the giant bottle, and in no way has Dove Men Care ever paid me for anything. But they own my soul, boys. I use their soap. I use their deodorants. And I usually buy a giant bottle of it, and then I ran out. So I just got a regular size bottle. But it makes me nervous. I should have more soap in there.
Dude, Ted, it makes me happy to hear that. Do you use their spray deodorant by chance?
I do.
I do, too. I love it. But also, the product, their greatest product ever, no longer exists. And if you have it or you have a source, let me know. But in the shower, they had like a soap body wash that was foaming. It was Dove foaming, and it was incredible.
Don't get me wrong. They got rid of it years ago. I love that stuff.
Dude, I don't know why it was so good, but that was the best soap I've ever used in my life.
And why does foaming soap only go on your hands? I want to foam this whole body.
Yeah, and why did it disappear? Like, it's so rare that I actually care about a product, and then I was like, oh, this stuff is the tits gone.
Yeah, I remember I used to use that stuff. I swore by it. My buddy Sean was over, and like I was like, dude, I got a clean towel. Like, you could shower up. Like, I'm a big shower guy, right? Like, I got to shower wherever I am.
Brother. Oh, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, all right. And I go, I got this foaming soap in there. I said, you basically make yourself into Frosty the motherfucking snowman. You come out clean as hell. God damn it, Cobb. I haven't thought about that. That and Bill's Off Broadway. There's some things that I miss about Capitol Hill.
It's still real to me, damn it. I love that clip. Yeah, man, there is something special about that. The fact that we both had that experience independently makes me wonder, like, what happened that it got cut? Like, was that just straight cancer?
I don't know. And I don't know why. Maybe it's I'm so used to buying foaming hand soap. Like, I like the foam. I like my soap foamy.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I don't need to be foaming my own soap these days. You know, it's 2026. You're the dog.
The spray deodorant also is great because there's never that awkward moment of being like, I don't mind if you use my deodorant. Just go, here you go, dude. Have at it.
Dude, I think mine says last 48 hours. Or like the whatever the claim is, it's so insane that I had to buy it. Like, I want to say it might even be longer than 48 hours. Like, it never quits.
Matt, what do you use it?
Beef tallow.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Matt, I followed your recommendation. Tallow. Just bought beef tallow soap the other day. I'll look up the brand, not the one that you like, the Meraki, right? Or no,
well,
the,
they don't do soap. There's a few Healthy Soul. I don't know if they're out of I found them in Austin.
Yeah, I remember you sent me the link. I did Terra Lotus organic tallow soap with organic castor oil, but I haven't tried it yet. Just threw it in the shower today. So yeah, we'll see.
It's good stuff. Foxy Bars is like the shampoo I get, which is beef tallow and methylene blue. But currently, I think I'm on a bar of Dr. Bronner's from Costco.
Yep. All right. Bronner's is a classic, dude.
What are you going to do? Costco, Dr. Bronner's, bars on it. So
yeah, I was a Bronner's guy for years. And
I
then
like the peppermint.
The peppermint's what I used to use. Gives
you
that little tingle.
Tingly taint.
Yeah, I'm with you. You feel that tingle on your balls, you know you're clean.
Yep.
but yeah, I don't know. I got into the Dove stuff, and like I said, they don't pay me any money. They own my soul. Like, once in a while, I'll be like, is there any products you swear by you'd like for free and you could advertise for? It's like Dove Men Care.
Good for our demo.
Ted, I don't want to be speaking out of school, but Amazon is claiming to have foaming Dove's men's soap. It's not the old tried and true, but they have like an aloe and eucalyptus one. Really tempted to take a flyer on this. Yeah. All right. Well, noted.
Side question before we get started. Do you guys ever have a business lunch?
Ted, do you know me at all? Yes. All the time.
I don't have a lot of them. Had one today. Frankly, a delicious Wagyu burger with a little Caesar side salad.
Nice.
I don't know. I feel like the business lunch is awkward because it's like, I know these people. And like, generally when we hang out, like there is work involved, but it's like after work, have a cup of cocktails or I don't know, cutting loose and just, I don't know. I feel odd at a business lunch. Like, all right, I guess we're hanging out. And then I'm just going to say bye and go back to work. Maybe I'm overthinking it. I just think the business lunch, if you're not interviewing somebody, it's kind of odd.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Like when I said business lunch, I kind of just meant like having a professional lunch with people who have professional jobs. That's like how low tier I am. But like, I don't think I've ever had like a lunch with anyone that I'm actively doing business with.
Yeah, and sometimes I get it because you're like, it's nice, they'll buy you lunch and then you talk about some business. We didn't talk about any business. I was just like, huh, so we're just kind of hanging out in the middle of the day, but I'm going to go back to work.
That is weird. Yeah, like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they were waiting for you to bring up the business. Maybe it's a cat and mouse game. I'm not really sure, but this is, well, I mean, I guess the real question is who's paying who?
Well, they were covering it, so it was fine.
No. I mean, like in the business dynamic, are they paying you or are you paying them?
They advertise on the station, so I guess they're paying us.
All right, so then it's up to them if they talk about it or not. Fuck it, you're just there to entertain. I like it.
All right,
you're not the one doing deals actively, right?
No,
there's nothing to talk about. They're just getting to know their investment.
Yeah, well, and then also like, God damn it, I want to get on a weird path here. Maybe I'm the psychopath or just a weirdo about stuff, but like, look, I love eating pizza. You know when I don't like pizza? For lunch. like I don't, to me, pizza's like a, hey man, it's Friday night or Saturday afternoon, you know, like it's evening time, let's order a pizza. And then I like today I had a burger for lunch. I was like, all right, I'm in a restaurant, I guess I'll get a burger. But I don't know, generally to me at work, lunch is just kind of like a meal. So it's usually like a salad. Some days I just get like a smoothie with protein powder in it and like vegetables. I don't know. It always throws me off. And then I'm like, can I eat a burger? In my head, this is what goes on in my head, boys. I'm like, can I eat a burger in the middle of the day? It's going to make me tired. Better not get the fries. That'll make me too tired.
I mean, yeah, you're not wrong. Like fries would take you out, you know, that heavy oil that time of day. I feel like pizza can be done in the middle of the day, but it's like one slice, you know? It's just like a quick little fuel up. It's not a full-on proper meal, which kind of defeats the purpose of a good pizza, in my opinion. But yeah, I think to further explain what's going on here, if you owned a racehorse, a prized pony, every once in a while you'd want to head down to the paddock and just kind of trot that thing around and take a look at what you got, see how she's looking, see if the, you know, the coat is glistening, see if the muscle looks well formed. Well, that's you.
Yeah, right. I'm the prized pony.
Exactly, yeah. Dude. They just want to pull it out of the paddock or pull it out into the paddock and just kind of see how she's looking, you know?
Yeah,
kick the tires a little bit and light the fires.
It was a much fancier restaurant than you'd ever catch me at for lunch. And it was Wagyu burger with some like kimchi slaw, some Beecher's cheese. I mean, it was phenomenal.
Damn. That's, yeah. Dude, got to fuel up the prize pony with the good stuff, you know?
I don't know, Matt. Like, you're kind of, I mean, all three of us have different jobs. So I guess if I had a 9-to-5, like, regular job, I'd have like my lunch hour. But to me, lunch is just something I grab during the course of my day. So generally it's like a salad, a wrap, like I said, like a smoothie. Like I see people eating burgers. I'm just like, who the fuck has time to be eating a burger? And like, what are you doing?
Who's this guy think he is?
Right. But then I got to remind myself, like, well, that guy's got to be to the office at 9 a.m. and doesn't get out till 5. Like, he's enjoying this hour.
Oh, yeah. Some people live for lunch break.
Well, it feels very like white collar. And none of us have like traditional white collar jobs. We're like, yeah, we're going to go talk about this deal or, you know, what it's like basically a meeting lunch. And yeah, I mean, I was just thinking the closest thing was like, I went to Keedy's for lunch with a client one day when I had a little gap in the middle of the day. And then I had to come back to work after sharing like a patty melt, like a burger. And I'm like, God damn, dude, I kind of just want to go take a nap.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, and then, like, if I have people that are like, hey, we should meet or talk about something, I'm always like, how about 9:30? We'll grab breakfast, you know?
Like, I'm with you, man. Energy is strong in the morning.
Yeah, have some coffees, roll into work. And I'm just like, I don't know, man. It just seems – and look, like I said, that's just me and my job, and usually I'm just eating at my desk, so I don't really think about it. But I was just like, huh, this is kind of awkward. Not to mention I was the first one there. Sitting there by myself for like half an hour, just like, yep, just a guy hanging out. Boys, I won't lie to you. I already got a bottle of Pellegrino, like sparkling water. Like, I was like, do you know when they're coming? Like, they're going to be another 20 minutes. Just, you know what? I'll take one of these athletic NAs. Like, I felt bad. Like, I'm just sitting here at a 7-top. Like, I need to order something.
So, Ted, I know there's like a lot of stuff you do outside of just like the time on air, but I bet a lot of people listening to this cast are like, what is Ted doing and not? Like, what does he actually do there? Because you go in a couple hours before the show, right? Like, what are you working on? What are you doing during the day?
I mean, the main thing is just trying. Like, obviously, I got to write some jokes and get like TV all set up, right? But that's, you know, that's pretty standard. I'll kind of figure out what I'm going to talk about there. Then a lot of times it's just kind of figuring out, like, what are miles of thrill? Like, what do we want to talk? Like, they're going to come up with the question of the day. I just got to make sure I know the stories that coincide with it, if that makes sense. And then sometimes it's just simple stuff. Like, God, what was it? Like, two weeks ago, I was just like, yo, thrill. And he's like, what's up? I was like, did you see the story about the kids that got horrified when the gorillas started passionate making love to each other in the gorilla exhibit? He's like, what? I'll send you the story. And then that becomes like the shot of the day. So I mean, a lot of it is just kind of scouring the internet. Like, there's a few different websites. I'm gonna give out all the secrets that I go to every day. They're kind of like news gathering websites that will give you like a quick synopsis, like 2 or 3 paragraphs, and then it's like, if you want to read the whole article, you can.
I got you. So you'll kind of gather like your raw ingredients and sort of like start like mixing up the dough.
Correct. I got to put some audio in the system. And then for me, truthfully, like by like 12:45, I'll usually go down and BS with Mike for a little bit. When there used to be more people in the building, I'd go over to sales and say what's up just to kind of get my
get talking, kind of get the chop going. Yeah.
Yeah. And kind of getting amped up, because it's tough if like, right? Like, you can see it in my eyes, right? Like, my allergies have been kind of killing me, but it's tough if you're like a little bit sick or whatever. like nobody feels like talking. So for me, it's a little bit easier, like almost like a football player. Like, let me go out and run some routes, start talking a little bit, kind of warm up the talking before I just try to hop on the air and talk to, you know, thousands of people without sounding like an idiot.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. Just like, you know, running a couple of laps up and down the field, throwing the ball a few times, just kind of getting in the, you know, in the zone.
Yeah, so like today, it wasn't like a massive deal that I took like a, you know, hour and 20 chunk out of it. I was just, again, and I got to realize, like, I have a different job. And I was like, I don't know what to do with these lunches. This is weird. And it was like, man, this place is so nice. It was like on the 16th floor. The view was great. And the guy was like, you sure you don't want anything else? I want to be like, well, yeah. I mean, I want an espresso mart. I go, because I said, well, yeah, I want something. But, you know, and he goes, oh, I get it. Business lunch. It's like, yeah, but I'm not a lawyer, so I can't just be ripping martinis.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. Yeah, I feel like step one is we got to rebrand this thing. Like, business lunch? How about a power lunch? You know? Step two, I would have respected the martini. I got to be honest. Yeah. It sets a tone. It lets them know that you are, in fact, a thoroughbred, not just a prize pony.
Why did you say it?
But confidence.
At this point, it's like, we could have just gone down to the cafeteria. I could have just gotten a turkey chicken or, you know, something wrapped, but good. But, you know, like I said, delicious burger. It's just, I don't know, for me, the middle of the day is just awkward. That's usually prime time, right? Like most people, it's big in the morning,
right?
But like, I don't get to work till like 11:30, so it's like those 2.5 hours or whatever, 3 hours before I go on the air, like my prime time.
Yeah, that makes sense. Kind of get everything, yeah, dialed in. That does make for a bizarre day. To like come in, then go to like this weird power lunch for an hour and 15 minutes. And then like, oh, and now we're going to go do a show. Like, wait, what? Like it's, yeah,
and
awkward,
it's almost,
yeah.
And I feel silly saying this, I'm 45 years old, but it's almost like a kid. It's like, I'm on a field trip. I got to go back to school.
Yeah, totally, dude.
Right. Like I'm out here in the world living free.
Oh man. That's, God, by contrast, like, I don't know Matt's lunch situation, but for me, I'm just like eating chicken packs from Costco at my desk in my house alone, eating chicken packs and like sweet potato things and then going for like a 5 minute walk and like, all right, back to the salt mine.
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah, I don't know. That's why. Like a couple weeks ago, I had a Thursday off, right? So I had a doctor's appointment, and then I showed up. I think I talked about this, about having a day to yourself. Showed up to the med at like 11:30. Just you? Yeah, just me. What are you doing? Like, got a day off. So it's like, I feel free to have this lunch now. I can do whatever I want.
That's awesome. What do you like at the med? What do you go for?
Well, if I go for dinner, I'm usually almost always going to get a, you know, good steak, and their crab cocktail's phenomenal.
Sure.
But for lunch, they have a very good burger too. But man, they have a prime rib that's probably the best prime rib, or what do you call it? A French dip.
Oh man, when a French dip is good. Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's so good. Well, that's what's funny is I went there specifically to get that French dip, and then I was like, well, I'm going to take my time. I don't have anywhere to be. So I had a couple cocktails, started talking to the bartender, and then one of my buddy that works there walked by me with my burger, and he goes, this isn't yours, is it? And I go, yeah, that's my burger. He goes, what happened to the French dip? I decided against it. And he goes, I recommended the whatever. And I go, yep, those were the two choices. I went burger.
Oh, I thought you were about to say you had a French dip and a burger. And I was like, damn, how long were you there?
That was a great day. Right. Went down to the shop, did a bunch of stuff. And then I went to Kell's because I was like, hey, I'm in the market. I'll get a beer. And then there's two guys who just left a business lunch. They're just, and I hear them going, we're doing green tea shots. And I just kind of look down and smile. They're like, you want a green tea shot, dude? And I'm like, yeah. You guys going back to work? They're like, yeah, but just the Topgolf. We can go. We can have a couple cocktails. I was like, I'm in.
The Topgolf?
Yeah. They were in town doing that. So I was like, yeah. But I mean, if it's a middle of the day on a Thursday at like 2 p.m. and you're buying green tea shots for other dudes at the bar, like you're in a good mood.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
All right. Breaking news from the NFL world. This is kind of crazy. Cobb, you probably don't even know this was supposed to happen. Matt, you might not know this info yet. So on Friday night, I ran into Thrill after work, and he's like, big news. I'm like, oh, yeah, what's that, homie? And he's like, the Ravens got Max Crosby. And I was like, from the Raiders? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, phew, that's a massive trade, right? They traded two number ones, blah, blah, blah. And then today, as I was leaving work, the Ravens were like, we don't want Max Crosby. Apparently his knee isn't, apparently he failed a physical or something. But
oh, my God. Are they able to reverse that deal still?
So that's what nobody's very sure about. Technically, these teams have been agreeing to terms with people, but you can't sign these contracts legally till tomorrow. So the Raiders already won out and, like, what, got the center from the Ravens? Like, they spent some money and were like, we're telling these guys we're going to give them a contract, but I don't know if they can do it if Crosby's still on their roster.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you know how the salary cap works, Cobb?
No.
No? Okay. Well, you're a numbers guy. I thought maybe.
That's true. I mean, salary cap, I'm going to assume that all or almost all players' salaries are combined to a certain number that you can't exceed.
Correct. And so Max Crosby is one of the best players at his position. So he has a big contract, and they thought they traded him, and then they signed a bunch of new free agents. They spent like over $100 million in the last 2 days since they cleared Crosby's salary off the books, and now he's back with his like $30 million cap hit, which I think they still have room for, but it really throws a wrench in their plans for sure.
Wow. Wait, so do all the NFL teams have the same salary cap?
Correct.
How much is that?
It's going up. It's over $300 million now.
Jesus Christ, that's a lot of money. Wait, so, okay. So then other leagues don't have that, right? Like the MLS does, I think.
Some do, some don't. MLB doesn't.
Is this why?
Hang on. Okay. MLB does, but you could pay a luxury tax over top of it.
So crony capitalism. Nice. I feel like, so this is maybe why the NFL is so fair. Because I will say, like, you can talk a lot of shit about the NFL, but you never know who's going to win that Super Bowl. Like, dynasties are not really as much of a thing anymore. And, like, I don't know. Do you guys think that is a huge contributor to why we don't have, like, the New York Yankees of NFL football?
All right. So, we're both kind of right. MLB does not have a strict hard salary cap, but they have a competitive balance tax, a luxury tax. So, you're right. So, that's why the Dodgers... the Dodgers and the Yankees pay a lot of that tax. But Cobb, you're also right. That's part of what makes the NFL work so well. And like, look, I'm kind of against it. I think everybody should get whatever they can. But it is what makes that league more competitive year to year, and you don't have as many dynasties. Now, with all that said, that is tough coming off the fact that the Patriots had an amazing run and the Chiefs just got done, what, winning two or three Super Bowls.
I think they were in 3 and 1-2.
So it's like, yeah. And then, right, that's what helps the NFL survive. Because it's the biggest league in our country, but also, like, Green Bay could not compete if there wasn't a salary cap. And then I believe some of the revenue from TV and stuff goes to every team. So, like, the big clubs have to kind of give back.
That makes sense. I mean, somebody like the Cowboys makes just absolutely insane money. Okay, so then how does NIL work? Because I know that SMU, the boosters, just threw down a ton of money to join the ACC because they forget, I don't know how you say that, but they're not accepting money for TV rights for 10 years. And the boosters, who are all oil money in Dallas, were just like, yep, no problem.
Correct. So NIL is a different beast and kind of is the Wild West. It's just insane with this Max Crosby thing. Like, first of all, I don't know why the league even opens up. Like, there's a legal tampering period for 5 days where you could talk to these guys, agree to terms, but you can't sign them till tomorrow. So that's what, like, right now, like, this is like breaking news. People are kind of like, huh, like, do now the Raiders just go to the Ravens? Like, well, we can't buy your center because he costs that much money against the cap. We're going to be way over. And then it's like, the Cowboys already went out and picked, like, do they go, we're not doing these trades now. And the whole thing is kind of insane. And frankly, it just, it's very, I think it's happened with smaller players. I've just never seen a guy get traded, first of all, for two number one round picks, first round picks, and then be like, nah, his knee's really messed up. We're not taking him.
Yeah. And also, how could they even tell that? I mean, wait, so it's Max Crosby, you said, right?
Correct.
This is going to piss you guys off. I've never heard that name in my life.
All right. In your defense on this one, the Raiders are absolutely trash and have been for years.
Fair enough.
You ever seen that meme of like, I don't know what kind of car it is, if it's a Bugatti, whatever, but it's like underneath this carport in a really shitty house. And it's just like, why would you have that expensive of a car in a shitty house? Max Crosby was that car. So the team was awful, but he was still dominant and really good. And like, it's kind of amazing that he's still there. So after a while, I think this year he was just like, look, we're not realistically going to be good soon. I want out. They found a trade partner in Baltimore and was like, all right.
Wow. He's a defensive end, huh? Where did he play college? That makes sense.
Played like Western Michigan or something.
Where did he play college?
Like a fourth round pick. It's a cool story.
Yeah, Eastern Michigan Eagles.
Yeah.
Eastern Michigan. Yeah. Eastern Michigan, boys, that's one of the tougher wins in our division. Go Zips.
Go Zips.
But I don't that's what I'm saying. Like, Cobb, you're a businessman. Like, is it like a domino effect? Do other teams just go, well, we can't take this guy now if the Raiders are given back?
I mean, if I'm the Raiders, I'm trying to sell him to anybody. But so his contract, the amount of money is already decided. Like, they don't get to renegotiate that piece?
Correct, because it's a trade. He's not a free agent.
All right. I don't literally know what a free agent is, but so it's a trade. So he was guaranteed money by them, and they're allowed to swap that contract to someone else, but not to, like, materially change that contract. That's what you're saying?
Correct.
Huh.
So, like, a free agent is, you've honored your contract, the team hasn't franchise tagged you, you can go look out. So, like, Kenneth Walker, K9 for the Seahawks.
Yep.
He's going to sign with the Chiefs. He wanted $13 million, which I think he's going to get. The Seahawks weren't going to pay him that much, but he's a free agent. So he's like, all right, I'm out. Right. Thanks for your service. You know, it's business. But when you're still under contract, you can get traded and kind of force a trade, but the other team has to take your contract.
$13 million. So $260,000 a week, every week for the entire year. And these guys don't get paid throughout the year. They get game checks. So really, he's getting paid, 14 times? Damn. That's a fat check, boys. Okay. So this guy, Max Crosby's making, $20 million a year, you said?
So then you have, like look at Tua Tagovailoa, right? The Dolphins released him. So that his cap money still hurts the Dolphins because they just released him. So basically he's still getting paid by the Dolphins, and then he can sign a league minimum for another team. Kind of like what Russell Wilson did a couple years ago, right? Like, Denver didn't want him. Denver's like, fuck it. We'll pay out this money. We just want him out of the locker room. And then he's like, all right, I'll sign for like $1 million and go play for the Giants.
Oh my God. This is madness, boys. Also, like, I know that people are accustomed to that amount of money, like hearing these figures thrown around, but think seriously about what $260,000 a week looks like.
Well, it's hard to do.
That's absurd.
Yeah. Yeah, it is absurd. I'd be eating Wagyu burgers with kimchi coleslaw every day for lunch.
Yeah, what are you going to do with the other $259.5 million? Or 1,000. That's like $500 for a week, dude.
You know what? Weird time to bring this up, but you're out. I'm the new owner of Cobb's Popcorn.
It's like, I got fucking traded, Ted. Come on. After all I've done for this franchise, I put this store on the map.
Sign the check. Take your money. It'd be gone.
3 playoff appearances. Yeah. Garrett's Popcorn is still out there. Okay, they're the perennial powerhouse. We're closing in. Are the Smiths behind this?
All right. All right, real quick. This is one of the worst stories ever. But there was a time where Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney made two songs together, right? Some people didn't like them. I like The Girl Is Mine. But at some point, when they're making these songs, Paul McCartney, who if people don't know, if you're a little bit younger, is a Beatle, brings up to Michael Jackson as they're sitting there that, like, yeah, the Beatles catalog's coming up for sale. It's going to make so much money down the future. I'm going to buy it. And Michael Jackson didn't tell him and went and bought the Beatles catalog from out underneath them.
Wow. I mean, wait, so Michael Jackson owned the Beatles catalog?
Yes.
I didn't know that's how that happened.
Oh my God.
So, see, I'm dead ass. Like, imagine if I was making that much money and one day you showed up and you're like, what do you mean somebody's buying it? It's like somebody else is buying, and you're like, all right, I guess we'll sell the company. And then you find out, like, it was Ted? Like, oh, why didn't I tell him how much it was worth?
Dude, and also, like, thinking about some of the conspiracy theories I've heard about Michael, how people were, like, worried he was getting too powerful, too much of a voice, too much money. Now I'm like, whew, man, I don't know. I don't know, boys. I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, anyhow, yeah, I don't know how we got there with Max Crosby, but yeah, just wild stuff. All that money, and they're just like, nah, he didn't pass his physical.
Yeah, how bad is this knee? Jesus Christ. Also, like, yeah.
His knee's bad. There's also, you can never tell online, but there's rumors coming out now, like, the Raiders knew and kind of tried to get by. I again, Matt, you know, you're a sports nerd like me. Like, I just don't remember this happening.
Not this high profile. And yeah, every once in a while you hear about some random guy failing his physical. Do you follow Freezing Cold Takes, Ted?
I do.
Did you see what they posted about this?
No.
There was some guy that was like, if the Ravens trade for Max Crosby, I'll shave my head. And then he retweeted that with a new picture of himself with his head shaved after it. And they just put that side by side with the Raiders announcement, which is like, basically, their announcement was worded weird. It was like, Baltimore backed out of our agreed upon deal. We have no further comment or something. But it's just like this guy shaving his head. And then the official announcement, which is a little salty, that the Raiders posted.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at this guy now, Nate.
Yeah.
Poor Nate shaved his whole head.
Oh, no.
Oh, now he's posted a little thing that just it's like, it's just the Ravens bird. It's like, I'm going to kill myself.
So I'm seeing a lot of people saying that he failed his physical, but nobody's saying, they're saying he had a knee injury a long time ago, but nobody's saying that's why he failed the physical. Do you guys know that's the case?
Well,
Diana Rossini, who's a big NFL, she put it out there, so I believe her.
Wow.
Yeah, when they, trade for guys, they like take them through their whole medical team and they determine, you know, make sure they're healthy, like those show ponies.
Yeah, that's this isn't like, you know, a physical for like a high school sport.
Yeah.
They're going to test everything.
They're just going to run the whole body.
Yeah, but like, how well
MRI
can you even test a man's knee, you know?
I mean, I'm assuming, who knows? And you're right. It might, they just said he failed the physical. It didn't say anything specific about the knee, and he might have been playing on injuries for years. And like, look, I'm speculating, but I assume in the NFL you could still shoot people up with certain stuff to get them to get through games.
Yeah.
So who knows? There might be some just long-term damage where they're just like, oh, like he's going to get hurt again.
Dude, I always say it, Ted, you know it better than anyone, but that's how they got RG3. That was one of the most tragic things I've ever seen on television. They hit him with, what's that stuff called? It burns out all the nerves. Oh my God. Why can't I think of the name of it?
Is it Trotazol or something like that?
No, it's
Toradol.
Oh my God, I can't think of the name. No, it's like the kind of classic. But anyway, yeah, they took him over to the sideline, gave him a shot of that. It burns out all the nerves. He can't feel anything. And like, dude, that three-step drop and that knee just snapped.
Right.
Like, so it's not like it does anything to heal it, you know? Cortisol? Something
cortisol,
like that?
Yeah.
Cortisone. course,
that's the thing about those shots that you'll hear the old players talk about. They're like, dude, you feel awesome, but like, you don't realize the long-term damage you're doing to stuff.
Yeah, because it doesn't heal anything. So then you're just going hard. Like, the whole reason it's hurting is so you don't put like weight on it and pressure on it, whatever. And like, that ended RG3's career. And 3 years in, I want to say, like, he was so promising, potentially a generational athlete. And they just wanted to win that stupid playoff game. Crazy. Short-sighted.
Yeah. And Matt's right. The Raiders put out, the Baltimore Ravens have backed out of our trade agreement with Max Crosby. We have no further comment at this time. So, yeah, backed out. I mean, that's them being like, these bastards.
Yeah.
Man, that's, oh, God. That's a gutsy call. Also, all over a knee. Like, they have a whole year to heal that thing.
Yeah. I think this would also be a good time to remind Seahawks fans, the sky is not falling. When you win a Super Bowl, guys leave, guys get paid. You still have, what, 10 returning starters on defense, built through the draft. Like, everybody chill out, man.
And John, we trust.
Like, everybody
trade for Max Crosby now. He's back on the market.
To number one.
Well, if he's got a bum knee, that's going to drive the price down. The whole league knows it.
Correct. The price has to go down. And to me, the Raiders are still like, we want to get rid of this contract.
We signed a lot of contracts or agreed to. John Schneider's on the phone right now. Guaranteed. He's been on the phone about this topic while we've been recording at some point. Like, that broke right before this.
Yeah. And Max Crosby, you should know too, Cobb. He is, I want to phrase this correctly, as three white guys. He has definitely had invites to the cookouts. So, like, him going from, like, being a Raider to being a Raven, people are like, oh, he's going to love Baltimore. This and that. Yeah. So, I mean, it's been a lot of fun the last few days.
Ted, speaking of Baltimore, I mean, I just want to get your take on this, but is the Utz crab chip the backbone of the Baltimore economy?
Well, technically they're from Hanover, Pennsylvania, but yeah, it's a big chip, man. The Utz chip and the Old Bay seasoning and blue crab cake. So it's basically what the city runs on.
So you're saying it is fair to call it the backbone of the Baltimore economy?
Correct. They've started, I don't know if you guys seen them in Texas or in California. Utz has started making a push up here in the Northwest.
Nice.
But they only have a few flavors. Like, once they show up with that crab chip, it's going to be trouble for your boy.
Dude, that's I love a regional chip. You know, Tibbs Cascade,
Tim's.
Hitter. Obviously, Kettle Chips, pretty damn good. Utz, amazing. Siete, down here in the Southland. They're starting to get national, though. They just got bought for like $1.2 billion. I'm trying to remember, what other local chips are there? I'm trying to remember what Boston had.
Cape Cod Chips.
Oh, yep. Cape Cod Chips. One of the weaker regional chips, to be honest.
Utz and Tim's. And granted, I grew up with Utz, and then I moved here, and I was like, Tim's is my guy.
Man, you remember the Tim's was Johnny's?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can feel the numbness on the back of my tongue right now just thinking about it from all that.
Give anything for that numbness.
What about Voodoo from Louisiana? Those are pretty good chips.
Oh, dude, that's a great chip. And those have definitely, we have those in Austin. So I don't know if I've seen them in Seattle. I'm trying to remember now. That's a great regional chip. You're right. That's a very unique top dog kind of chip.
Well, Cobb, let me ask you this. You're the only one in this room that owns a business. I don't fault anybody for making a regional product that does great and then sells to a giant company. But like, I don't know. Like, what's the line? Because I feel like sometimes quality just goes down when you sell out. So it's like, I want to say Miss Vicky's. I think that was another regional brand. That's like a national brand now. I mean, I still like them. But like, is there a line you think as a business owner? Or is that just one day somebody shows up and it's like, I got to take this check?
That's a complex question, Ted. It's a great question. I mean, one, quality is almost always going to go down. You know, those private equity guys are just cutting every corner they can. That's why I'm a little worried about Jersey Mike's right now. Shout out to my sandwich guys, but they got brought by private equity a year ago and it's coming. Subway would be a perfect example of, you know, when that has happened. There's a couple pizza places that I don't want to call out directly, but yeah, like, you know, there's a reason all the major pizza chains now use the same cheese. Yeah, what I would say on that line, usually sometimes the check is just so F off big that it's not even a question. But what I would say is that oftentimes the owner is tired. They've been doing it for a long time, or they need the distribution muscle. Sometimes they're put into a bad spot where just the national players are putting so much money marketing into their local market to kind of get the price down that they know it's just a matter of time before they get competed away. I want to say Boston Beer Co. was kind of famous for that. Not that they're huge, but they were kind of the biggest of the microbreweries.
Talk about Sam Adams.
Yeah. Yeah.
Credit to that guy. He still owns his.
Right. But what I'm saying is I think he put a lot of people out of business, a lot of smaller guys that he either bought or just flooded their markets because he had some scale. Like I know him and Dogfish went at it for a long time, but yeah, what I would say is like, I think if you make it through that kind of offer and become a regional icon, which is sort of our goal with Cubs Popcorn, regional icons are some of the greatest businesses ever. In-N-Out is a perfect example. Regional icon. Just, they absolutely crush cash well above the, you know, the norm. Their margins are high. Their volume is high. Their customer service levels are high. Satisfaction is high. Beloved, their whatever those are called, like the recall rating high. Texas Roadhouse is another one, just passed the Olive Garden for profit in a year. And they only have like, you know, they have half the locations of Olive Garden. So I think I love a regional chain personally. The one I always think of is that burger place in Oregon. Now, of course, I'm blanking on the name, but you guys know what I'm talking about?
What a burger?
Burgerville.
No, Burgerville. Thank you, Ted.
That's right. Yeah,
Burgerville. Yeah, Burgerville. Down here, we have P. Terry's. I love a regional player. And I think a lot of people sell too early. I think it's okay to just hold it as a long-term cash flow business. See's Candy, another great example. They're national now, but they weren't for a long time, just in California. So that's not to say that I would never sell the brand, but it would take a lot. Because I think, you know, a regional player can be a pretty incredible business with really deep competitive advantages.
Yeah, like I'm not going to talk about it here because it's not my business to say, but I know some people that sold some local things to giant companies, and when people would ask me about it off the record, I'd tell them the number and they're like, oh yeah, I get it now. It's like, yeah, it's life-changing generational money. Like that is very hard to do. And like, I don't know. I can't blame them. I mean, hell, you know, if I was a big influencer, like I'd lie and say I like these chicken fingers.
Yeah. Oh man, Raising Cane's is a great example. Yeah, dude. You know, I mean, you think about just how the math really works and something like that. Most people are like, oh, I need $50 million, whatever. It's like you put $10 million in, you know, just like sort of a standard index fund, whatever. And like, even if you're only pulling off like 7% a year, that's 700 grand before you left a finger.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm still here eating hot dogs for $1,000 a piece.
God, aren't we all?
All right, let's take a break there. We'll come back with some emails. What's Matt into the Cop Top?
I'm Sarah Austin Jeunesse, The Moth's executive producer and longtime host of The Moth Podcast. Every week, we share true stories told live and without notes by real people from all walks of life. Stories about disastrous haircuts, May-December romances, photographing Pluto, fighting for justice, and so much more. Some stories make you laugh, some make you think, and many stay with you long after they're told. Discover the power of story. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks to our sponsors. Like I always try to tell you, if things get stinky, call our friends Pinky's Plumbing. And then, God forbid, you get hit or injured by somebody else, please reach out to our friends, the Advocates. And, yeah, go get your consultation, man. Like, if they can win the case, they, you know, that's it. They got you covered. Consultation's free. Get in there. All right, Mr. Cobb, do we have some emails?
Woof, woof. I keep spending my dog money on baseball tickets, checking out a few WBC games in Houston. My financial advisor is losing his mind. Cop topic below pick. Oh, nice. This is actually a pretty sick pick of nice. I had my thing minimized. Him just crushing a dog at a baseball game. Looks like maybe a Houston Astros game. That's awesome.
Well, it sounds like he's at the World Baseball Classic, but they were playing it at Houston's Park.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, and actually, shout out. This guy emailed me to grab barbecue in Austin, but I couldn't swing it this week. The timing was not ideal.
Hang on. Matt, are you still there, Matt?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Matt, if you can hear us, turn off your video to speed things up on your end.
I can hear you. He's,
he might be dead.
We're good.
Oh, he can hear us.
Okay, nice. Turn off your video.
Okay. You're just frozen. Frozen in a flex.
Yeah, he is like flexing. I'm going to try to screenshot that. Oh, damn it. I missed it. Nice. Matt, can you hear us okay?
Yeah.
All right. Last week's cop topic. When did you realize you were no longer the same person? Friday 3/6, after listening to the episode and doing some reflecting, about 2 years ago, I was just 2 years out of my residency training, doctor, enjoying more regular hours with better work-life balance and time to do hobbies again, living with my fiance and building our friend group. Despite having everything going for me, I was feeling unfulfilled, let down. I felt like I spent all of my 20s to get here, only to look around and think, so, this is it? I ended up getting into therapy to learn how to be a better version of myself and work on unpacking why I was feeling so let down by life. A huge thing therapy helped me discover is how much of a toll the heavy emotions of caring for sick and dying patients in the hospital was having on me. True words.
Yep.
I would just never talk about it and always thought leaving work at the door was the key to dealing with the emotional days. I learned that I can come home and talk to my partner about what I'm going through and I don't have to 100% leave work at the door. And while severely PTSD inducing, I can even sit down and watch The Pit with her even in some of the episodes, even though some of the episodes make me cry. Old me would have just pushed those feelings down even further. It's a work in progress, but I'm happy and a better partner for it. Sometimes being a dog is about confronting some hard truths to be a better version of yourself. Oof, Jordan.
Ooh, strong. You know, I've heard a lot of people talk about that show, The Pit, and really like it. It's about an emergency room in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and to what he said about the emotions and stuff, like, yeah, you can only push that stuff down for so long, and it starts to enter into your subconscious and can create some really toxic stuff. You do need to talk about that stuff. Everyone experiences emotions. I dated a girl for a long time who worked, in a neonatal ICU, and so they're dealing with babies dying every day, and, you know, like, laying in bed going to sleep, it was not my favorite thing to hear about. But if people don't get that stuff out, like, it comes out in other crazy ways with like alcohol addiction, drug addiction, some like really crazy traumas and stuff. So I think that's good that you're aware of it and working on it. It's like, yeah, you're just really confronting some intense human realities every day, and it's got to go somewhere.
Yeah, for sure. And look, part of taking care of your mentals is part of being a dog. All right, is that it on the emails?
No, we got another one.
That was all one.
Good afternoon, gents, at the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
For the cop topic this last week, I have many times I lost my voice. I have many times I realized I wasn't the same person, but I'm going to stick with the cliche positive one rather than going through any negatives. I would have to say when my daughter was born in 2022, I had a fundamental shift in how I thought about things and how I went about my day. At that point, everything I did was to benefit her rather than just living the dink lifestyle. It's amazing every day thinking about her and trying to put myself in her perspective on things. That's a great mental exercise. You should try it sometime. Also, as a second but compounding example, the beginning of 2026 was another transformative time. The year of the MF and dog. See attached cute video of us putting in work and Matt looking at that dispersion of a three-year-old. Thanks, gents. Kelly, the man.
Did you guys see that video of like that's like, how old was that little girl? Like 8 or 9? And she's deadlifting like 145?
Oh, my God.
She was at like a weightlifting competition. It's just wild. She is year of the dog, focused in, like high-fiving her coach, got on her little weight belt, and just was like, damn, what kid's getting it?
Dude, she's locked in. What are we even doing, you know? What are you even doing, Ted? What am I doing? I don't know. We got to lock in.
We do. She's locked in. We need to lock in. Speaking of locked in, let's lock in on what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Check out what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Check out with what's maddening.
All right, I'm gonna assume you guys can hear me, even if it's a little delayed.
Yes.
You can just throw up a thumbs up. Oh, we're live. Great. This weekend, I came home and I had a project waiting for me. The bed was moved, the dressers were moved, all my shit was on the floor. I had to go through that. I played up my displeasure in order to get some physical pleasure, and it worked.
Right.
So that was sick. I did not care in the slightest that my stuff was moved, and you know, I was fine with it, but I was like, this is an opportunity. If we play our cards right. And so then in the midst of attempting to make my way to the promised land, she was like, oh, do you want to go to the Wildflower Festival? And I was like, sure. You know, like the give and take. And then so after we went there, and that was a dud. It was not that lit. There were no wildflowers. I think it was mostly for kids. I don't even think kids would have that much fun there. It was like a bunch of like conservation organizations tents and like a couple food trucks, and we were just like, all right, well, we got out of the house. So then we came home and Tyler made some delicious stuffed peppers. We watched some Tulsa King. That was sick. That show's great. And then Sunday, I played some golf with my dad, and nothing was like really working well in my game. I didn't hit a single fairway until the 14th hole, which I got a triple bogey on, I might add. I was doing just fine. I had a 40 on the front nine without hitting a single fairway, which I'm pretty sure I've never done that before. And then I kind of started falling apart after on the back nine. We were waiting behind people. I was walking, so when we were waiting, I wasn't always in the shade of a golf cart. So we could blame it on whatever, but you know, ultimately, I'm also just not that great at golf. And so on the 18th hole, I was in the bunker, then I hit my first bunker shot. I got a little too much sand. It got just out of the bunker, but then instead of rolling forward onto the green, it rolled backwards into the bunker again. So on my second bunker shot, I got not enough sand, and I got too much ball, and I sent the ball flying very fast out of the bunker, and it hit the clubhouse on the deck where people were.
Oh.
It didn't hit anybody. But it felt like it's like a little bit of a rite of passage, you know. You're on 18, people are outside, and you just send one out of four out of the bunker. So it was memorable. It was fun. Couple milestones. One good, one bad.
Oh, dude, that's so brutal. I remember when I used to play a lot, like I used to be so scared of trying to pitch a ball from like 40 to 50 feet in. Like if I landed in the bunker, I was like, sweet. And then there's definitely a course I remember in PG County where even like I was consistently shooting 100 and I would hit a house on that goddamn course every time we played it.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So it wasn't like I didn't know what I was doing, but just they're so close. It would like get in your head and be like, oh, this driver's going into that house.
Yeah, I've hit a lot of houses. My brother's broken a window. I've never broken a window, but yeah, I think I'm the first one in the family to hit the clubhouse. So that was someone went and got the ball for me and gave it back to me. I didn't lose a single ball all round, which is always a good day. technically.
The only one that drives up a wall is when people have houses next to a golf course and get all fired up. I can't believe you hit our house. It's like, dude, you live next to a golf course.
Oh my God, this one bitch on 8. Ugh. She's like, you hit the house. I was like, did I break anything? She's like, no. I was like, is everyone okay? She's like, yeah. And I was like, all right.
Yeah. Like, it's great.
So what are we talking about?
Right? You live next to a golf. You live on a golf course. Like, it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. No, it isn't the consequences of my own actions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? It's like, no, I like to swim here. You know, there's sharks. Yeah. And you're mad you got bit. Yeah.
God, all right. Exactly.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Cobb topic.
All right, boys. I don't want to give too much detail, but a lot of people who listen know where I went to high school. So a couple of years ago, I was in South Lake Union, and I was stopped at a crosswalk, and a girl walks in front of my truck. Same truck I had in high school. She didn't see me, but it was the former most attractive girl from my high school. And so come to find out, I don't want to give too many details even. She is working a corporate job, gained a bunch of weight, and is very happy. Maybe not happy. I don't know. So the cop topic this week, what happened to the hottest chick at your high school years later? Feel free to email us, email@thepodcast.com. What happened to the hottest chick at your high school many years later? Or even just 1 year later, whatever. I had my high school reunion recently, so catching up and hearing about people's lives. Very interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. Boys? Ted, you had no girls at your high school, but, you know, you guys had the sister school.
Yeah. I don't know that I was involved too much with them.
Okay.
Trying to think. I mean, I had a buddy whose sister was a smoke show, and she's still a smoke show.
Nice. Life worked out all right for her.
Yeah, right. It's like, yeah. I'm trying to think. I don't know. Even though I grew up in a bigger metropolitan area, it's same kind of, the only thing that's weird is sometimes you go back and other people are dating other people's exes, which for me, because I moved, is only odd. As I'm like, wait a minute, I thought she was dating that guy. And they're like, dude, that was 12 years ago. I'm like, yep, all right, my bad.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Last time I saw her, I don't know if she was married, but she was actually working in radio at the Christian station in Seattle, like on the sales side or something. And this was before I stopped drinking. I was just in full blown party mode. Like, yeah, we're going to KISW now. We were both in radio, but she was on a much more wholesome and
the path of the Lord,
financially responsible path than like, yeah, I'm the overnighter. Like, pretty easy to smoke weed out on the deck. You know, my boss said if you can't do your job drunk, you can't work for me. So,
oh my God,
we're both having a good time in radio,
and she's just like, Jesus signs my paycheck.
Yeah.
I mean, I could say this. I know, like, I haven't been to a reunion in years. So I went to, like, my 10 year. I should go to my 20 year. But there's definitely, like, there's, like, a couple people I just kind of forgot. And there's definitely one guy, like, I wouldn't say we dislike each other, but just, yeah. He doesn't care for me. Still doesn't. What did I do to you? What is the beef? But, yeah, I don't know. There was one point we took this giant picture and he was like next to me and I just was like, this is awkward. There's, you know, even with all guys, there's still some drama.
Ted, I'm beginning to think you were the hot chick at your high school.
I was well known. All right. Next week is St. Patrick's Day, so we'll be off. So I'm going to go have a beverage and eat some corned beef and cabbage. Also, if you're going to spell St. Patrick's short, it's with D's. So St. Patty's, right? Because it's Patrick, not Patricia. Don't spell it with two T's.
That's actually a good point.
Yeah, yeah. And it happens every year. And I'm just like, come on, people. You got to be better than that. This weekend, I'll be up in Stanwood for the shortest Stanwood St. Patrick's Day parade. And then, yeah, probably staying with our buddy Brad and Taryn. So, yeah, who knows? Might catch me in the streets of Stanwood till like 3 or 4 in the evening. Just living life.
Catch me outside. How about that?
All right. For MCTP, for Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.